Oh my goodness, a Texas man spent 3 days in jail after a thief stole his identity, committing crimes using that stolen information? Oh my goodness, someone wrote fraudulent checks in Nevada using his identity? The stories get worse and worse. It seems every day things are popping up in the news indicating that all of this information you have put online about your financial situation is vulnerable to thieves, and they're getting craftier and craftier. They hack in, and then your life is turned upside down. Well, you know that nobody can stop every act of identity theft. We know that's impossible. But LifeLock has the best product, now even better. It's called LifeLock Ultimate Plus, to give you peace of mind, to be out there fighting for your identity and fighting for your fiscal security online, and you need to get on board with this. Make this part of your New Year's resolutions. LifeLock Ultimate Plus, it's the most comprehensive identity theft protection available out there, and it protects your equity in your own home and all this other information you have online. So go to LifeLock.com, use the promo code Laura. You'll get my special 10% discount. That's promo code Laura, 10% discount. You can also call them at 800-495-8020, 800-495-8020. Network does not cover all transactions.
Issue of immigration, the only way to do it, and frankly, the right way to do it, is to do it in a broad, bipartisan way.
And you think you can bring your party along on that?
Absolutely.
No problem. Simple question in this new year. One political question, then one holiday question, looking back on your holiday. Political question is, do you want John Boehner challenged for the position of speakership? Yes or no? Should John Boehner remain as speaker? Yes or no? Or is this all just a waste of time? 855-40-LAURA. Should John Boehner remain as speaker? Yes or no? And a short why. Number two, best and worst moments of your Christmas or holiday break. If your break was 2 days or 1 day. Or if you had no break, maybe that's part of the worst moments. I want to hear best and worst moments from all of you. 855-40-LAURA. I have tweeted and Facebooked the photo of my new friend named Lucy, who I met at Park City, who works for the Viking Yurt. The Viking Yurt. What is that? Well, it's this little Norwegian restaurant on Park City Mountain Resort, and it's up the mountain. It's really cool. It's this little kind of octagon-shaped thing. They serve you dinner up there. It's very fun. It's just a treat. It's a treat to do this. It was 19 below zero, and I see this woman helping load the sleigh with all the blankets, putting people in blankets. Not really a sleigh. It's a mechanized thing, a snow cat. And she's jumping up on this sleigh and loading people with her daughter. And so I asked her daughter, I said, gee, your mom's unbelievable. Very spry, very fit, beautiful woman. And I said, how old's your mom? Thinking maybe she was 70. Maybe. 94 years old. She got a round of applause by all the people going into the snowcat because she was unbelievable. I kept thinking, and I asked her, I said, what do you do? I know everyone asks her that. What do you do? I said, tell me, I bet you don't drink anything. No alcohol. She said, I have a nip or two here or there. Well, a little touch of wine. I think her daughter said that. But she's active. She stays active, and she's very positive, and she stays happy, right? And she works. Yeah, she's happy, and she works. Good thing. 855-40-LAURA. Should John Boehner remain as speaker, yes or no? Is it worth the effort to unseat him, yes or no? Best and worst moments of the vacation, holiday, whatever you want to call it, okay? My stomach is growling. Can you hear it over the microphone? I'm going to put the mic up to my – oh, it's growling. What is wrong? And I'm not worked out, done any exercise in like 9 days. I feel so gross. And Nico's sick, and it's just, you know, stomach virus. You know, this worst is, okay, Pete is doing the small violin. The worst is it, okay, here's my worst. 2 in the morning, Nico comes in. He says mine instead of my. mine tummy hurts. It's like, mine ears hurt. Mine tummy hurts. Mine. I said, first of all, it's my. To correct his grammar. It's my. And what hurts? And I see him kind of starting to convulse. I was staying at friend's house, and it's on their bed, right? I grabbed him like the Hulk. I grabbed him and whisked him into the bathroom. It's dark. I'm stubbing my toe on several, ski boot on the floor, stubbing my toe. I get him in there just in the nick of time. You know, it's poor. And the worst is when a little kid is throwing up because they don't really understand it. Oh, felt so bad. That was my worst, okay? Because that wasn't worse for me. It was worse for him. My best moment was probably seeing this Lucy woman who was just made me laugh. And I'm smiling to this moment thinking about her. That was probably my best. And just being with the family. 855-40-LAURA. All right. Congressman Jim Bridenstine from the great state of Oklahoma joins us now to tell us. Well, Jim, can you tell us what your best and worst moment of the vacation was, please? First, let's start with your best before we talk about John Boehner. What was your best moment? And you better make it good.
I think it probably is very similar to a lot of people across the country. I love filming my children come down the steps and see the Christmas tree. And I remember it when I was a kid, and certainly there's nothing better than that as a parent to watch your children on that day.
That was probably one of mine as well. I mean, and seeing my daughter play an excellent shepherd at the Christmas pageant on Christmas Eve.
When she really?
Said, yeah. When you remember the part of the Bible, where she said, and they were in fear of what they saw at first at the vein. Remember, they were in fear.
Yeah.
And she did this really dramatic, like with her hands as a shepherd. It was really fun. That was great. Okay, what was your worst? Be honest. and don't say there wasn't. There was. You're lying.
I'll be really clear.
Yeah.
The day we went on vacation from the House of Representatives, we passed the Cromnibus. And that funded for the next year the government and took off the table the power of the purse that we constitutionally have to rein in this very aggressive liberal president. We have heard him say over and over again, if Congress won't act, I will. We have heard him say, I've got a pen and I've got a phone. And then Congress goes forward right before the new Congress gets seated, and they fund the government for a year, taking off the table, the power of the purse, which is our constitutional check and balance on this president. So I had to go home after this package that was $1.1 trillion, 1,603 pages, that we got 48 hours to look at and then vote on. I got to go home and hear from my constituents. Mm. That was miserable. Now, I voted no. My constituents were proud of that. But my constituents are livid at Washington, D.C. All of this was easily avoidable had we, if you remember the Ryan Murray budget deal that raised taxes.
That was a nightmare. That was a nightmare last year. It's always bad in the lame duck session, which it's the lamest of lame duck sessions. We had the Ryan Murray budget disaster, which broke all the budget caps. We had been reducing spending. Slightly, the growth of spending, and we threw that out the window, and now this Cromnibus.
But this is even worse, because remember the Ryan Murray budget deal and the underlying omnibus package of spending that was within that afterwards, that expired on September 31st. So we had to fund the government. What did we do? Did we fund the government through January when we know that we're going to have a Republican Senate, which all indicators were that we were going to have a Republican Senate? No, we actually funded the government through December 11th, knowing full well that we were going to have to negotiate with Harry Reid before the new Senate got seated. That indicates that there is a failure here, that somebody wanted to negotiate with Harry Reid rather than a Republican Senate.
Well, that's
all
clear.
We had to do is pass a short-term CR.
Yeah, we all know this. I don't mean to cut you off, but we've gone over this territory. We don't want to waste our listeners' time. Short-term spending bill, then they could have, with a majority in the House and the Senate, they could have then really driven the message home to the American people of why the government needs to be reformed, why the rule of law needs to be restored, why we have to lock down the border, stop benefits going to illegals, all the things that we know are very popular across the working class lines in this country. They could have done. They threw it all away. I want you to play for you. Tom Cole, one of your colleagues in the House of Representatives, said this on Morning Joe about the challenge to John Boehner.
By going out and not voting for the conference choice, you're not attacking John Boehner. You're really attacking the Republican conference that you say you're part of. So I find it, frankly, pretty unprofessional and very disappointing.
So since you're opposing Boehner, along with a handful of other people, Dave Bratt, and we just had Louis Gohmert on and some others, I mean, you're disappointing and unprofessional, Congressman.
I think I have an obligation to represent my constituents. Everybody knows that the poll came out on Friday indicating that 60% of Republicans want a new Speaker of the House. I am representing my constituents. I think it's terribly unprofessional to not represent your constituents. And if you're from Oklahoma, the way Tom Cole and I are, it's not 60%. I would guess it's much higher than 60% because that was a nationwide poll. Oklahoma is the most conservative state in the union. My obligation is, number one, to the Constitution, and number two, to my constituents. That's why I ran. That's why I'm here. And I think every member of Congress should take that into account.
Well, 64% of those who responded to this new poll by EMC Research and Pat Caddell, 64% said Boehner has been ineffective in opposing President Obama's agenda. Now, the Republicans rushed into victory in November, I think in part because they didn't do stupid things like this immigration amnesty, which would have enraged its base. And they kept their heads down and kept educating people about Obamacare and had a bunch of votes that, you know, obviously couldn't go anywhere because they didn't have the Senate. But, you know, 64% is a significant number, and people are clear on what they want here, I believe. Boehner has, if any, support. It says, you know, I think the National Review headline is, new poll shows tepid GOP support for Boehner. And my point here is not a personal one about Boehner. It's just that tepid doesn't work anymore. We need people to be inspired in a positive way and believe that someone like the Speaker of the House is really going to rally all the different elements of the Republican Party together and move the country forward, move us forward in a really positive conservative direction. And yes, I think really, really fight against the Obama executive agenda. And I don't believe most people think that. Now, this is not anything personal. It's not. I like John Boehner as a person. This is about what the reality of the world is today in Republican politics. And I just think, Congressman, they don't give a darn. They don't really care what the people think.
It's not that they don't care what the people think. Here's the thing.
Or at least after elections. They care before elections. They don't care after the elections. I should qualify my remarks.
Yeah. You know how Washington, D.C. works. When you vote for the Speaker of the House, whoever it may be, again, this isn't about John Boehner. It's just about whoever has the power. If you vote against that person, well, then the lobbyist class here in Washington, D.C. is going to not support you as much as they would support others if they support you at all. And so there's a lot of pressure inside the Beltway to go along with the power structure as it exists. There's no doubt about that, and it's not any secret. The question becomes, how interested are you in having power or influence, and how interested are you in representing your constituents? And so what happens is members of Congress, they can come here and they can vote for John Boehner on the floor, and then they can go home to their constituencies and say, well, nobody ran against him. Well, this is not the case this time. Louis Gohmert has said he's willing to stand up and run for Speaker of the House. So has Ted Yoho. I have told people I'm comfortable voting for either one of those. I'm thinking that in the coming days there may even be more. So the reality is there's a very real choice here. And by the way, you don't have to vote for either of them. You could vote for anybody. There is no rule that says, and this is the other thing that I've been hearing, that members keep saying. They keep saying, well, if you're not for John Boehner, you're for Nancy Pelosi. That is categorically false.
But this is what the Republican establishment always does. It always blames the base of the party. When they have been in charge, they have been presiding over this, and their numbers are in the toilet. Why?
Right.
They win in November, but their numbers are in the toilet when it comes to approval. Why? Okay. Start doing what the people want. What the people want. The people reward you. Okay. That's how it goes. It's nothing personal. Congressman, we got about 15 seconds. You can close it out.
Well, I was just going to say, Nancy Pelosi has no path. We have 57% of the House of Representatives is Republican. It would be highly unlikely that 7% of them would turn around and vote for Nancy Pelosi. In order to become Speaker, you have to have 50% of the House.
Do you think you're going to win? Yes or no?
We're going to, you know, look, we're just going to make sure that people understand they need to represent their constituents. At the end of the day, whether we win or lose, all we can do is the best we can.
I appreciate it. Congressman Jim Bridenstine from the great state of Oklahoma. Thank you, sir. We'll close out this hour. I want you to go to our Facebook page, Laura Ingraham Show Facebook page. Look at my new photo of Lucy, 94 years old. Amazing story of what you can do with a positive attitude and staying active as a senior citizen. Amazing stuff. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.
Thanks for listening to this podcast excerpt of The Laura Ingraham Show. If you'd like to receive podcasts of our complete shows, go to lauraingraham.com and sign up to become a member of Laura 365. Our Laura 365 members get commercial-free streams and podcasts of our shows every day we're on the air. And also, you can listen to the last 30 days of The Laura Ingraham Show. Be ahead of the curve. Join Laura 365.